News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
The Artemis II space mission has successfully launched. Four astronauts currently in orbit around Earth and about to head for the moon. And they're going to be the people who will travel the furthest ever from Earth and the first people to orbit the moon in, I think, roughly about 50 years. Dr. David Whitehouse is with us, astronomer and science writer. David, everything went almost flawlessly except for the toilet.
You're quite right. Yes, you could have almost predicted that the toilets, which incidentally I hear that they've now fixed, everything did go flawlessly. It was really quite remarkable because, remember, this rocket is more powerful than the Saturn V rocket that launched the Apollo astronauts to the moon. It's the most powerful rocket humans have ever sat on top of and been launched into space. It was spectacular, but it all seemed to work, and they're currently checking things out, doing tests and manoeuvres and rendezvous in space before later tonight when they really set off for the moon.
Describe the process of how they set off from the moon, because it requires gravity and a lot of power.
Yes, in fact, most of the power you need for the mission is in the first 10 minutes just to get up into space. So the solid fuel boosters provide most of the thrust. They fall away after 2 minutes. The core stage, an extra 8 minutes, that takes it up. And since then, they have a smaller upper stage, which they recently jettisoned. So they're maneuvering into a particular, very elongated orbit to check things out. And at a certain point in that orbit, they have thrusters on what they call the service module. They give themselves a little kick. It's called TLI. The first time TLI was used was Apollo 8 in 68. It's translunar injection. And that's the time when they slip the gravity of Earth and start moving out towards the moon to take 3 days to get there. And such is the intricate precision of this trajectory that theoretically, once they've gone to TLI, they shouldn't really have to do much else other than minor corrections, because they'll go around the far side of the moon and automatically be swung back towards the Earth, a free return trajectory. It's going to be remarkable to see them do that.
Now, if they have all of that high-tech capability to do that, how come they are ending in a splashdown in the Pacific like the 1950s instead of controlled descent back onto a pad like SpaceX?
Well, yes, that's because when you send something to the moon, you want to conserve mass. You have to really make it as light and as agile as you can. And particularly when you're coming back towards the Earth at 25,000 miles an hour, the fastest people have ever gone to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, you need a thick heat shield. And it's a controlled fall, basically. So if you wanted the extra equipment to slow yourself down, the rocket thrusters to slow yourself down and land on the ground, that would add extra weight and complications to the capsule. And splashdowns at the sea are fairly routine. SpaceX does them with their Dragon capsule with people on board. And you can actually these days precisely calculate where you're going to come down and have the Navy waiting for them. So landing in the sea, particularly, you know, because there's so much of it and it cushions you when you land, is actually a good thing to do.
David, thank you very much. Dr. David Whitehouse, astronomer and science writer.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.